Hello and welcome to 98% Pure Potato, the podcast. This is John Griffiths speaking. I'm bringing this podcast back to life again for a third outing. You can see what I've posted before in various incarnations and I've covered various other topics, but it seemed to me that having referred to the book after which the podcast is named, 98% Pure Potato, and talked quite a lot about that, and also started to link it with current practice, that maybe I should just cut loose and start talking about good examples of contemporary advertising, drawing where it's relevant on things which feature in the book, but otherwise just talking about it anyway. So I hope you'll find this helpful. And this week, I thought we'd start off with that Gillette campaign. And because anyone and everyone in Adland seems to have an opinion about it, I thought I would go up through various levels of explanation just to show that because advertising is public, and when advertising is public and gets people talking, it can be interpreted on a variety of different levels. And you might decide that you stop on one of the levels I suggest and say that's how it's working or is intended to work. But hear me out, because I think I can rattle my way through five or six levels. So stick with me and we'll see where we go. So if we go back to level number one, we know that Gillette is a brand which has advertised in a fairly consistent way, in a very product-led way for many, many years. And so it's a bit of a shock to discover them doing something different. How many blades are they going to promote now when they get past 7, 8, 13, whatever? You know, where does this stop? So for them to do something different, it's been a bit of a shock. So level number one could be simply a moving away from normal service. They're challenging the way we're used to their advertising. One could even regard it as a kind of teaser, where you could imagine that after a couple of weeks, they just start putting ads up saying, well, it is only a razor after all, so calm down, dear. Can we just get back to normal? And they're simply reminding ourselves they're more than just a product. So that kind of teaser where you break out of pattern and go back into pattern might be level number one. That might be what's going on. I think unlikely, but let's consider that. Well, it's simply a break from product advertising. Let's go to level number two, and that is the salient strategy, and quite a lot of people have referenced that. A salient strategy basically is along the lines of, well, as long as it gets you noticed, as long as it gets you talked about, don't worry about the negative feedback that you get, because in the long run, fame is worth it, whether it's for good or for worse. So this is simply a way of giving extra profile. And of course, that links to word of mouth and says, well, if more people are talking about it and reviewing the brand, then maybe they're considering it. People who hadn't considered the brand before are now thinking about it. So that sort of salient strategy is a perfectly reasonable way of doing things. And that's all that Procter & Gamble are doing with Gillette. Well, I think there's a bit more to it than that. We could go up to level number three. And that is simply that it's a prospecting campaign. That the Gillette advertising is, by and large, seen by people that like it, and it reinforces what they're already doing. They like to have clean chins. They like to have a fairly conventional notion of masculinity. The issue is that the people who have been watching all this and don't use Gillette are not likely to be switched on by it. So to get new people in, we need to say something different to them, and this will get them to at least debate it and reconsider. And if the metrosexuals don't take Gillette seriously, this might be a campaign to change their mind. So that's level number three, where basically we're going to a new audience, and that's jarring for the existing audience because they're not being talked to for the first time in an awful long time. So that's level number three. Level number four gets us into brand purpose. And this is where there could be a bit of angst here. When I was interviewing people for the book, Adam Lurie was most entertaining about the extent to which people start to come up with higher order reasons for doing advertising. And I suppose if I was parodying what he said, that this is a brand manager who's trying to impress the women in his life. He's slightly embarrassed about the fact that he's working on a brand where the values seem to be so traditional, and these are Neanderthals with their knuckles dragging across the ground. So if he does something which is about a higher brand purpose, encouraging men to behave better, he will be better regarded all the way around, and it helps him to go to work in the morning. Now, it's a conspiracy theory. I think it's nonsense, because Procter & Gamble, being a large corporation, doesn't need to satisfy the anxieties of people inside their organization. They don't just want to be well thought of. There has to be a commercial goal to it. So that sort of brand purpose thing as a general idea, I think, is quite limited. But if we go up to level five, one could say that perhaps this campaign is supposed to be a big culture story. In other words, hang the sales. Gillette are being responsible. They're wanting to join the Me Too movement, and there's a whole conversation going on. This is familiar ground, which perhaps potentially governments and lobby groups would be involved in, and they want to be involved in this as well. But the real problem with Level 5 and the big culture thing is that it would appear that Gillette users don't like it. So either Gillette don't care that their customers don't like it, or potentially Gillette are actually knowingly offending their customers. Now the question is, why would they do that? And this really brings me to Level 6, which I think is the really interesting one. And that is, there, it seems to me, is a cardinal rule with advertising that it should not only be legal, decent and honest, but also that advertising should be appreciative of its core customers, the people who are buying the product, which ultimately pays for everything. And what Gillette has done, almost like breaking the fourth wall in the theatre, is to break this rule, because they're being directly controversial and offensive to their customers. It's interesting, in some of the data I've seen, Mark Ritson writes about this, that Gillette users are quite traditional and that gender equality is not a priority for them. What the brand has been doing until this time has been implicitly respecting this traditional point of view and not confronting them with it. But now Gillette are turning around and telling their customers that they're pigs. Of course they don't like it. And at this level, they're going to reject the brand. That's to say, they're angry with Gillette. Whether or not they will really throw their razors in the bin, look for another brand which is more fitting with their values, I believe is more questionable. And I believe that they won't do that, because in the end, it's just a razor. Now this, to me, is quite similar to the Chuck Out the Chintz campaign that was run by IKEA a number of years ago, when, in effect, a Scandinavian furniture brand told the whole of the UK that their taste in furniture was terrible. Even if you didn't like it, you had to change your opinion because you didn't like your taste in furniture being criticised. Because Gillette is just a razor, I believe that their users, once they calm down, once they listen to the unacceptability of the advertising, will be cross with it. I think they'll continue to use Gillette razors, but I believe that their attitudes will change. So we get the benefits of fame, we get the benefits of increased sales, but we also get a change in attitudes. So the advertising will in effect be doing a job of persuasion. You see, pigs still need to shave. That's the deep truth underneath this. The irritation of the advertising, I don't believe, is enough to make people change what they're doing, because ultimately these are razors which have blades that go with them. You're going to have to buy a whole new razor, a whole new set of blades, find a whole new way of shaving. I don't think they're going to do that, however uncomfortable this is. And it's a reminder that advertising doesn't have to be nice. It has to stand out, it has to get noticed, it has to engage people. Having thought about this, I think this is a countercultural campaign, because at the moment the culture is compliant and anxious and concerned about causing offence. And that's why most advertising falls in line with that, which is why it is polite, respectful and dull. It's a reminder that you don't need to respect your customers. You just have to persuade them to spend with your brand, to change their attitudes while they're doing it. And an advertiser is perfectly entitled to do that. That's basically the rules of advertising and what we allow advertising to do in our society. It's okay to be irritating. That's a kind of paradox for a shaving brand. But, you know, even if you are a shaving brand, it's okay to irritate your customers and everyone else in the cause of getting them to change their attitudes while selling more razors. And I think Gillette just did that, and well done them. So that's the end of this podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. And tune in. I'll find more things to talk about which relate to contemporary advertising. And again, we'll be relating it back where relevant to 98% Pure Potato. If you want to find out more about that, you just have to visit the Facebook page of that name. Thanks very much for listening.